For the third and final time, hopefully, welcome to BMW WWE episode 2.5. Today, I'll talk about some of the rumors going on inside of WWE. I'll also give you guys a top five matches for me of all time within WWE. Obviously, everyone's is going to be different, but I want you guys to hear from my mouth and my point of view on how I fucking feel about shit. Now, I know today is the day for the freaks, and the Fight Freaks rules Wednesdays, but I had no other fucking choice. At my job right now, I work at Dell as a contractor. I'm 18 an hour, and I'm about to possibly be Dell badge, meaning I'll have a forever spot. And with that forever spot, I'll make anywhere from 52 to 60K a year just starting out, plus commission. Now, with that commission, I could make anywhere from 60K to 100K a year. And that's fucking badass. And that's what I want. That's going to help my career move forward. So everybody say a prayer for your boy so I can get on this and possibly change my life, start buying a house. So first off, before I dive into anything, I want to apologize to my brothers from Fight Freaks. Pharaoh, I want to say sorry to you, man. Sorry. Diego, I'm sorry. Matt, I know you haven't been there for a few months, but I'm sorry. And I can't wait until you're back. Now, I had said this on a fucking different, one of the other fucking episodes that I had recorded that got deleted. I went further into it. So I said, I was saying that my uncle actually used to be a boxer. Now, my uncle's name is Tracy Sneed. He boxed. He has a pretty decent record. Obviously, I hope he doesn't box anymore because he kind of fucked his record up by continuing to box clear into his 40s. Take this into perspective. My uncle is 18 or 19 years older than I am, and he was still fighting when I was fucking 22 years old. So take that for whatever you want to take it as. Now, I mean, you can look up his record and see what it is. Whenever I was little, the first time I've ever went to any boxing match was with my uncle, or for my uncle. I can vaguely remember being 5 or 6 years old, basically being in some arena. I don't remember where the fuck it was. It was somewhere in Shawnee. I remember vividly my uncle knocking this motherfucker out unconscious. And I was like, oh shit. And for the long, he hit this fucking dude so hard that around the time I was 4 or 5 years old, Tyson was in prison. But at the same time, everyone knew who the fuck he was. So I went like, until I was like seeing Tyson get beat the fuck up by Evander Holyfield, I thought my uncle was Mike Tyson for the longest time. And I was like, why are we not rich? Why am I struggling? Sorry if there was a little fade in that. I got a fucking phone call. But I don't understand it. But yeah, so I wanted to, obviously I'm taking a second to get into this podcast. I just wanted to say sorry and explain to you guys why I'm doing it today. Yeah, man. Props, man. I wish nothing but success for all of you guys, all three of you guys at the Fight Freaks. Can't wait to watch Diego fight. Can't wait to get on this Fight Freaks merch. Can't wait, man. Future's bright. Let's go. All right. So first, I'm going to talk about the state of the WWE to me. Now, what I feel like is going on is they are booking themselves in a corners constantly. They will do some shit and then they can't explain it. And that does work. I understand it's a family-friendly show and everything. But they also have to realize that majority of their viewers are older. And I do know that they do kind of control the viewers and everything is the older people. Being a kiddie, like the kiddiness, which isn't terrible, but the kiddiness will get you paid based on whenever you're in their town. people take their kids. As far as being on TV, I know for me, it's kitty, and whenever my son, who's in, like, he'll watch wrestling with me now, and he's only 1.5, but it ain't gonna be some shit to where I'm gonna sit there and he's gonna control the TV on a Monday night for me. Motherfucker, I just worked a full day. You got me fucked up. And we're about to watch what you want to watch if I don't want to watch it. You pay some bills at 1.5, damn it. Nah, but basically, I'm not saying come out and just have people die every match, but they have to stop thinking that a lot of their viewers are retarded or anything. And but I will go on this ledge. A lot of people are dumb as fuck. A lot of these wrestling fans, this shit is their life, and they want to fucking act like they're above everyone, and they want to act like, oh, Kofi lost. Fuck WWE. This is the worst thing ever. If you weren't excited about that match, you're a piece of shit. That, like, and, well, the match for itself, I'm not going to speak on the full match, but at least the last two, Kofi and Daniel, that was great. They put on a show. If you didn't like that, and you're talking about WWE fucking lost me, well, good luck. But I hope you have training since you're lost. Hopefully no one ever finds your dumbass. Now, something that they could do to help the booking is basically stop being kiss asses. There's all these documentaries about Vince talking, or people talking about how Vince loved how they didn't just go the way that he wants. Now, I'm guessing Vince gives off this presence whenever you're like, basically, if you don't do what I want you to and you don't say yes whenever I think it's a great idea, you're fucking fired. And yes, everything goes through Vince, but you can't sit here and tell me that when Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman and I don't know who the fuck else was, I mean Pat Patterson, Gerald Briscoe, like all these guys that were constantly in Vince's ear in office and everything were telling him no because it doesn't make sense, that he didn't listen. He had to. If his ratings started dropping and they were pointing him in a different direction, then that's one thing. There's been so many writers get shit canned. And so I'm not going to blame it all just solely on Vince. I know people want to, but I'm not. I do think once the XFL starts, Hunter will have his boys. It'll basically be majority NXT, and they will probably turn it similar to an NXT style. And if you can watch NXT, NXT is great. Their storylines, I don't really watch it every week because there's no point. You can watch the takeovers, and when you watch the takeover, one thing that stands out more to me about the takeover match than just the main roster, the takeover matches, while they are better and they do give them longer, and there's less matches, so they can give them longer. What does it for me is you could never watch NXT. You could never watch wrestling. You could turn on a takeover, and the video packages before, which is what they used to do on the main roster for every match, and they were great. The video packages before the matches will tell you everything you need to know. You know who the bad guy is. You know who the good guy is. You go in knowing what's going on. If he fucked his wife, you know he fucked his wife. And you know why he's so fucking mad. Like, you know all this stuff. So, yeah. All right. So, I'm going to go ahead and jump into some headlines. They're not really headlines, but, I mean, it is what it is. Ty Dillinger asked for his release. Don't care one damn bit. Ty Dillinger is a good hand. Everyone can say he's good in the ring. He's solid in the ring. Yeah, you're correct. You can also admit that this is the most talent on any roster there has ever been accumulated in all of history. So being a good worker does not fucking work to get you where you want to go. You can't be a good worker and be in good programs. R-Truth is a good worker, and he just now got the U.S. title and wasn't even on SmackDown. So what the fuck does that tell you, Ty? You can cut a decent promo at best. The only reason people are chanting your shit is because it's catchy. 10, 10, 10. That's it. Nothing about you stands out. You're not going to sell merch because you don't own the number 10, motherfucker. I also read that it's being speculated that Daniel Bryan will defend his WWE title at WrestleMania against a returning Kevin Owens. And I honestly think they could have a good match. I do believe last year was Daniel's return match. And lo and behold, he was involved in the match with Kevin Owens. Yeah. So, yeah. I think it'd be a fresh start. Put KO back on SmackDown. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with Sammy. Are they going to keep them together forever? Are they going to put Sammy on Raw and let him be himself? El Generico or whatever? Don't know. Something else that popped in the headlines this week. Roman Reigns is expected to return around WrestleMania, if not before. I read a story saying that he's ready. So that's just going to make the speculations that his cancer or leukemia was all fake, and WWE just did it to give him time to film movies, spend time with his family, and just give the fans a break to quit booing him. I'm not a Roman hater. Roman's matches, he's given me some great matches. I'm always intrigued. Majority of the times, I know he's going to win, but he works his ass off. His matches are always interesting, at least. His promo skills have gotten better. He still doesn't grab me every time he grabs a mic, but I mean, in this era, who, like, that's what kills me. How are you mad about, like, oh, Roman King, Roman, like, all these fucking keyboard warriors, Roman King cut a promo to save his life, but you like Daniel Bryan, and which, don't get me wrong, Daniel's cutting good promos now, but okay, you love AJ Styles, and all he says is, this is the house that AJ Styles built, and you know what I'm saying, like, it's all cookie cutter shit. They're not doing anything out of the realm to make me just be like, oh my God, these motherfuckers are. Like, you don't get any how the first time you heard, if you smell, like, you don't get that. Or the first time Stone Cold said Austin 316, he could say that millions of times. He could say DTA millions of times, and it didn't matter because the first time he said it, and every time he said it after, it made you feel some type of way. DTA, don't trust anybody. Stone Cold lived that shit. So anytime he did say it, I was like, oh my God, like, it's perfect for him. Like, DTA, don't trust anybody. All right. Well, I'm going to stop making hot takes, and I'll go ahead and go into the weekly episodic. I'm not going to deep dive into it. I watched more of Raw than I did SmackDown. Raw was long as shit. Obviously, it's 3 hours. Around 8:55, I just turn my brain off. If you do the math, 8:55 would technically be where, if it started at 8 and it went 2 hours, it would be almost 10 o'clock. So the show would be wrapping up and I would feel like I got my fill of WWE. So it starts, Triple H is in the ring. Triple H gives Kofi a shout out. He gives him some rub, talking about how he was a great in the Elimination Chamber. It's great. I agree. I'll get to Kofi a little bit later. He talks about D-Generation X going to the Hall of Fame. It's including China as well and Billy Gunn. China was the name breaker. Everyone was shocked. He said her by name. He said the ninth wonder of the world. People obviously bringing up old shit like everyone does in today's day. Basically saying, oh, well, what if, like Triple H said, like, a couple years ago that he didn't want his kids to Google China and then see One Night in China and see all the drugs and shit that she was into. And then I'm just thinking to myself, you're right, but they could Google Paige and there's a bunch of pictures and a bunch of videos. And you could Google Toni Storm, who is fine. And I'm like, Toni Storm is, I don't know why. I don't think she's the finest, but there's just something about her that I'm just like, oh my God. But Toni Storm has a video finger blasting herself. Nikki Bella, there's pictures of her titties. I don't know if they're real. I mean, if they did, this was an actual good fucking Photoshop if they did it. I know the one with like Alexa Bliss and Bayley getting jizz shot in their faces and shit. I know all that shit is Photoshopped. I'm not tripping on that, but yeah, the Charlotte upside down titties that she has, they're on there. Like, I mean, it's a matter of time in today's day and age that somebody doesn't have sex tapes and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, for all we know, I have a sex tape on my phone that somebody, whenever I become famous or whatever, somebody's gonna leak, and it's gonna be like, oh shit, Marlon has a huge dick. But so moving on, Trips also brings up that tonight four NXT superstars will be making their debuts on the main roster. Now, with that, he did not say they will be making their like mainstay on the main roster. He said they're gonna make their debut, which means they could debut and go back down just like Bayley did for a few months and then come up after Mania. So yeah, we can just live with that. Also, those four superstars were Ricochet, Aleister Black, Johnny Gargano, and Ciampa. Now, before I dive into their matches individually, because I'm not going to go Raw, like over Raw spec by spec, because I didn't pay attention to anything after 8:55 or 9 o'clock, so I don't really know what happened at the end. I want to talk about all these guys individually, kind of. Nah, fuck that. I'm not going to talk about them individually. Ciampa has grown on me. Ciampa, when DIY split a couple years ago, I was just like, I don't understand what he's going to bring. It's just like Johnny Gargano is the more loved. He's the more, you know, Johnny Wrestling. Johnny Wrestling. That's what you get from Johnny Gargano. Now, what you get from Ciampa is just ball head, candy ass. Nah, I'm joking. But he's a good, to me, he's a great heel. He's not Kevin Owens heel level yet, but he's a great heel, and I love it. So yeah, I'm not going to talk about everyone. I just want to talk about that. Ciampa does a lot of like little nuances. Like whenever he's excited, he does a little quick clap, like, yeah, 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 yeah. And then he pats himself on his back. It's just little stuff like that that I notice. And I'm just like, that's good work, man. You put in the work. So then basically Braun Strowman goes over Baron Corbin. He has a little face-off with Heyman at the top of the ramp, or Strowman does. Heyman comes out, cuts a promo, shows a video package of Brock. Finn Balor comes out. He's attacked by Bobby Lashley from behind when Leo rushes on the stage. Ricochet comes out for the save. Ricochet and Finn Balor pick up the win after Ricochet hits the 640 on Leo Rush, I believe. Then after that, you had DIY, basically. I don't know why they're not just calling him DIY. But you have DIY against The Revival. Bad booking, because obviously DIY has to go over. And now you basically said they're a better team than your Raw Tag Team Champions. And they're supposed to be Junior High League. But we'll go, fuck that. We're not going to talk about that. Now, besides that, we had... after that, we had Aleister Black versus Elias. Aleister Black went over after a Black Mass kick. We had the Lucha Fucks versus Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder. Nobody gave two shits about that match. The crowd was dead. One thing I want to say about this Raw is after the Ricochet match and after the DIY match, the crowd was flat. My wife said it. She watches wrestling sparingly. The big shows, bigger shows, she'll watch. And she loves to predict matches and see if she's right. And weirdly enough, she's like 85% correct, which blows my fucking mind. But yeah. So the crowd was dead. And I think that's retarded. I think you pay your money. Go cheer, boo. Scream, get kicked out for all the fuck I care. Bring in fucking AEW. I don't care. Give reactions. Like, they deserve it. They're out there busting their ass. Like, give them something. Don't just sit down and not say anything the entire time. But don't fucking start these, this is wrestling. Fight forever. Thank you, Dixie. You deserve it. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a good pop for big spots. Cheer when they need to be cheered. Boo when they need to be booed. If you want to boo whenever you should cheer and you want to be a smart, go ahead, motherfucker. Like, I don't care. If you want to boo John Cena, have at it. But whenever he's gone, you're going to miss him. And the same thing with others. Like, I mean, I just don't understand to where I feel like in today's day and age, the Rock and Stone Cold, as over as they were back then, if they were to blow up now, like, if they would have been booed. And it makes zero sense to me. Like, the internet... while I love it and technology is great, it has ruined a lot of shit. and wrestling, it's not ruined it, and it can't, but it's made people and fans think that they can run Vince's business for him, and they can't, which is funny to me because you can say all the shit you want about Vince, and Vince is just going to be like, oh, well, guess what? I took this empire and built it to what it is today. Do you think my father, Vince Sr., could have molded into what I did? No, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it is. But moving forward, talking about SmackDown Live, because Raw after that was basically, I mean, I can run down for you. Ronda Rousey, Ruby Riott, don't know who won, don't really give a shit. Ambrose lost to Drew McIntyre clean. I think that was it. Maybe, Sasha and Bayley came out and talked about them being the champs, and they were interrupted by Nia and Tamina. I know no one cares because no one cares about them two. Had it have been anyone else, like if they would have brought like imagine that spot. Sasha and Bayley come out and they're fucking like for this is how I would book it. Fuck what everybody talks like wants to talk about. I would have had Trish Stratus in the ring. Fuck that. Lita, because Lita's the one who gave the whenever it went from the Divas champ to the Women's champ, Lita was the one who presented the belt. So I'd have Lita out there, and I would have Lita present them bitches with their titles. And then as they're cheering and talking about we're the best team and yada, 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 and we're the best, blah, blah, I would have Lita take the mic and say, now, I really am proud of you girls, but when you start saying that you're the best, honey, you're not. And I know a team that's better than you. And obviously everyone would be like, oh, well, who's she talking about? Trish Stratus's music hit. Boom, WrestleMania. There. That's a match that everyone would actually pay attention to. Trish, Lita versus Sasha and Bayley. Boom. End of story. Not talking anymore about it. At me, bro. So SmackDown Live starts similar to Raw. Shane is out there. Shane goes over some same shit. Oh, yay, Kofi. Yay, we love you. We're going to basically... NXT people, y'all impressed me. Y'all are going to be here tonight. So after that, basically, the Miz's music hit. Miz comes out. He apologizes to Shane. Hey, I cost us the match. I'm sorry, bro. Your dad has always been proud of you. And I like my dad, he's only said that he was proud of me once, and it was when we first won the titles. I'm sorry I let you down. I let him down. All that good shit. And then Shane is just like, bro, chill out. And then he was like, the Miz told him, hey, since you're Shane McMahon, you can actually give us title rematch, even though we're not supposed to do that anymore. You are Shane McMahon, damn it. And Shane said, man, I don't know. And then the Usos music hits. Down since day one-ish. Down since. And then they do the, hey, Us, you hear what they say? You know what I'm saying? That bullshit. But they jump into that. The Usos basically tell him, hey, if this is what you guys want, this is what you guys can have. All you got to do is say it is Shane. And Shane was like, all right. So at Fastlane, March 10th, that's what's going down. And then after that, you had Aleister Black versus Andrade Cien Almas. And I know they're just calling him Andrade, but fuck it. They have some chemistry from NXT. I know they can go together. They did go together, and it's some good shit. I was really proud to watch that match. Not proud, like I was a father or some shit. I don't know why I chose that, but I was really glad that they had them together because they could tell the story about how they had their past battles in NXT. And I think that helps build story, build caring about, and as well as talk about how neither one of them kind of had the edge and they're both great superstars. Like that helps build both of them so that whenever one of them does lose, which everybody knew it would be Andrade, it's rubbed the right way because people forget Andrade was called up with last year and he's already on his fucking Ty Dillinger shit. And Andrade is pretty talented. But I think what these NXT guys have to realize is once Vince does do the XFL and Hunter's running it mostly, it's going to be like NXT. So people are going to have shot. The one thing I want to say quickly is Vince does a good job of getting money out of you. He does a good job of whatever you do good, putting you in that position sometimes to make him more money. That's what Vince does. what Triple H does a good job of in his cast, because, I mean, you got to think he has Road Dogg and he has HBK and, like, all the producers and all that bullshit, and he's more open-minded. What he does well is Triple H will get the best out of you to make himself more money. Essentially, that's what it is, but he will get the best out of you because he knows as many good guys that are in the top spot. That's how it is. Like, that's how it's going to go. Think of this. This roster has more talent than ever before, but you don't view it as top, like, full at the top as you do the Attitude Era. Think about this. The Attitude Era you have. You had, at the end of the Attitude Era, you had HBK going out, but then you had Stone Cold, you had The Rock, Triple H. Then you had people that were on the mids. You have Undertaker, Kane, Big Show, big name stars. You also had your Jerichos, young Eddie Guerrero, young Chris Benoit. You also had great tag teams, the Dudleys, the Hardy Boys, Edge and Christian. Like, you have all these people, and basically, you don't have that now. No one has the, I mean, people have the capability, but no one is wanting to give. No one is wanting to basically go. I don't know how to explain it even. It's just people aren't doing it. People aren't grasping the envelope. And I know Hunter can get that out of them. Everyone that's great, the more people that are great, the more people that are pushed, the more people that are over, the better the show will be and the more money you'll make me, motherfucker. But yeah, so after the Andrade match, Ricochet comes out. He has a match. I don't even fucking remember who he had a match with, to be honest. I did not watch SmackDown. I won't lie to you. I just was like, Raw was too much. I'll read up on SmackDown, maybe watch it on Hulu today, but I didn't. But I could have. But I know Andrade, I heard Andrade, or not Andrade, but Ricochet got another tremendous pop. Everyone was like, yay, Ricochet, Ricochet, Ricochet. And he was doing all his spots and whatnot. Now, what I want to say about his spots, that's all he does, basically, is he's just a human highlight reel. And that's how he's portrayed. That's how they portray him, is like he's the one, the highlight reel Ricochet, which is cool. But then I started thinking, I watched Ricochet in some indies matches. I watched Ricochet in Lucha Underground. And this is two different Ricochets. So far, he has just been showing that he can jump out of, like, he's just a highlight reel. If you go back and watch some of his Lucha Underground matches, he can go. And he also has shit, highlight reel stuff that you haven't even seen. It's crazy, right? Now, I'm not saying by any means, like, that's going to get him pushed to the top, because it's not. It's just that's going to make them a lot of money with him flipping and flying everywhere because people love it. And, I mean, as long as you want to stay healthy, have at it. I mean, Jeff Hardy made it a career out of just flipping and being a daredevil. He was only a champ in WWE one time, maybe one or two times. And, I mean, but he made it a career. Like, everyone knows Jeff. I'm not saying you're going to be Jeff, but I'm just saying, like, you know where I'm getting at. So then we have DIY team to take on the Bar. One call out on that is the size difference. DIY look tiny compared to the Bar, and the Bar, Sheamus, what, 6'4", 6'3"? They look tiny. Now, one thing I want to say about that as well is I'm not so much of the you're tiny, you can't go, because they can play it up a little bit. The one thing I will say about it is you have to book the matches perfect every time. Because imagine thinking Eddie Guerrero would beat Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship. It happened. Imagine thinking Bret Hart would beat Yokozuna. It happened. So what I'm getting at is it can happen. Like, they've booked it in the past and everyone loved it. So just the size, I don't think is necessarily that big a deal. If it was Hornswoggle, yes. But they had Hornswoggle as a cruiserweight. Like, okay, I'm sorry. I almost lost my fucking cool. Yeah. So that's the one call out I have to say on that. Something else that happened on SmackDown. Let's see. Well, I talked about the NXT call ups. The Miz spot. Mandy Rose had a match against Asuka. She beat her, which is wild as fuck, right? But hey, her fine ass can beat me if she wants to. Giggity. Anyways, so after that, we had Daniel Bryan come out, cut a promo saying nobody in the match tonight, which was the match included, was basically, was it him, Randy Orton, and Samoa Joe, and they were taking on Jeff Hardy, AJ Styles, and Kofi Kingston. Now, before the match, Kofi Kingston was given the rundown by the New Day. Kofi was getting, they were like pumping him up, which is crazy because they were on his nuts so much that it's making me think at Fastlane, Kofi could do a switch. Now, I'll talk about that in a minute. But another good showing from all the guys can go. Kofi picked up the win over Daniel Bryan. Shane McMahon comes out. It'll be Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston, one-on-one at Fastlane. It could be from the little I've seen from them at the Elimination Chamber. Those two can have a great match, and I'm fucking excited about it. I'm like overly excited about it. So back to the whole Kofi thing. I think they should fucking turn him heel in Cleveland March 10th for Fastlane. I don't care. And if not Kofi, because we already know that either The Miz or Shane's going to turn heel that night after they lose. I'm not even like speculating or saying that shit's going to happen. We know that. Basically, what I'm getting at is turn Big E heel again. Fuck it. Have him come out. Have Kofi lose. Have Big E and Xavier come out. Pat him on the back. Pick him up like they were. 11 years. 11 years. Big ending. Boom. Xavier like, yo, bro, what the fuck? Big ending, bro. Fuck you. Fuck you mean. And basically just put it off. It was like, bro, like I don't need y'all. Kofi, you out here thinking you the only one in this group. You motherfucker, look at my pegs, bro. I'm swole. I'm big. I'm bigger than both of y'all. I'll fuck y'all up. And to be real, Big E has the tools. Like, he's charismatic. He can talk a little bit better now than he could when he first came in. He's been there. You think about it. He debuted on the main roster. He was with CM Punk and AJ Lee. No, not even. He was with Dolph Ziggler and AJ Lee. Dolph Ziggler, when he cashed in his Money in the Bank to beat Alberto Del Rio for the championship, the World Heavyweight Championship, Big E was with him. That's fucking nuts, right? Yeah. Just turn Big E. Don't turn Xavier. I don't want Xavier to turn because he has too much popularity, so it'd be one thing to where they try to turn him, and the crowd wouldn't turn on him. The up, up, down, down shit, like, Xavier is, he's one of those guys to where you can turn him, but you would have to midway through turn him back babyface, and you would turn him into the Big Show, so, like, let's just stay away from that. I give Raw a 6.4 on the scale, and I give SmackDown about a 6.6. Nothing great, but nothing terrible. I just wasn't engaged. Like I said, it's just random. I'm ready for him to start ramping shit up. But where I want to get to next is I want to talk about my top five matches of all time. All right. I'm not going to hesitate. I'm just going to dive right into them. All right. Number five, I'm going to give you guys, don't kill me or get mad at me. I want to give you guys Mankind versus The Undertaker, King of the Ring, 1998. Really don't even have to explain this, but this thrown off the top, thrown through it, thumbtacks, ass whooping, nose through, or ear through the nose, or not ear, fucking teeth through, tooth in his nose, going through his lip that got there. My God, he's broken in half. He's broken in half. And then when he goes through it, oh, that's it, he's dead, like that. I know, Mick Foley, if you ever listen to this, I'm so sorry that your body is beat to shit for my entertainment, but damn it, do I applaud you, because that was some scary shit, and you could have died, and just for you, you have no idea how much I respect you, and I actually want to meet you in person just for that. I know you hurt, and I know, like, I know your your kid, you weren't able to get around with your kids. Like I'm hoping to get around with mine. And like, but I know you're a great dad because you're a great person. I can tell. All right. You're not some fucking Dave Meltzer who's a pussy ass bitch who thinks he can fucking rule the rest of the world because he thinks that him giving matches 5 stars and not giving it 5 stars, he thinks that that controls it. Fuck you. Fuck out of here, Meltzer. Anyways. Number four. I'm doing this off the top of my head, too. I just know what matches I like the most. Number four, I'm going to say WrestleMania 13, Stone Cold, Bret Hart. Double turn match. And the reason I picked that match is because that match launched Stone Cold. Everyone will say that the Austin 316 says, "I just whipped your ass," launched him. That gave him a platform. It gave him a jet. Whenever that match happened and he was in the sharpshooter bleeding and did not tap out and passed out, he pushed the launch button and took the fuck off. Now, Bret's brother Owen tried to kill him with the tombstone, but it didn't work. And Stone Cold, it launched bad. That match is a great piece of art. I know he was suffering from staph, and it's crazy. Now, we'll go from number four to number three. Number three, I am actually going to try to get something more current. I am going to give you guys a three-way tie at number three, okay? I'm possibly three-way. I'm going to give you guys, though, I'm going to give you Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg at WrestleMania a couple years ago. I'm going to give you Brock Lesnar versus AJ Styles. And then I'm going to one up that and go Brock Lesnar, John Cena, Seth Rollins, triple threat for the WWE title. I'll explain it all. First, I'm not huge on Brock, but I know when Brock wants to go and Brock has the right opponent and he's not just lazy, his matches are exciting. Brock's, I don't really care. Okay, think about it like this. Brock versus Samoa Joe, short match, right? The pre-match ass-whipping Samoa Joe gave him, exciting. Even though I knew Samoa Joe wasn't going to win, I winced and was like, oh shit, maybe they're going to pull the trigger on this. That I'm invested, okay? Brock versus AJ, great. Brock versus Daniel Bryan, great. Brock versus Roman, while it might not be great, it's still really good, and I'm intrigued because I don't know who's going to win. I have to watch those matches. As much as I don't want to sometimes because it's repetitive, I have to because I don't know who's going to win. They have the rocket behind both of them. Who's going to win? Whose rocket is going to go higher, huh? That's where I'm there to see. Brock versus AJ, I already said, was great. Brock versus Seth versus John Cena, that match is what got Seth basically noticed. If it wasn't for that match, Seth Rollins would still be a multi-hair color dyed pussy, basically. That match, hitting that Phoenix Splash and doing like all the Falcon Arrow and all, that was when everyone took notice and was like, this motherfucker here can go. Yes. Now, outside of that one, I also gave you the Goldberg versus Brock match. While it was not the most technical, while it wasn't probably the best match that I even have on this list, period, it was fun. You got exciting. Everyone kind of knew that Goldberg was going out, but the way it started, no one was that certain. They had some good spots, good near falls. Yeah, it was good. Number two. I am going to give, let's see, number two, WrestleMania 20, triple threat, Shawn Michaels, Chris Benoit, Triple H. That match, to me, that's one of the matches I know I can watch every day, and it'll never get old. The lead up to it, the Chris Benoit, this is before, pre-killing everyone. This is Chris Benoit, where he's, if like, the I don't like, I forgot the song that was leading up to it, but the "if I gave it all, if I knew all the bad way," I'm fucking it up, but "for one thing, just for one day, That was shit was good. The video package, him winning the title and then being like him standing there with the giving Eddie Guerrero a hug. That was a great moment. So I'm gonna come with my number one match of all time. Hell in a Cell, 1997, Bad Blood, Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker. This match started HBK strong. He came out whipping that ass, beating the Undertaker's ass all over the cell. Hit a super kick, went to pin him. Undertaker sat up, started beating Shawn's ass. Shawn, being a heel, a good heel, punches on a cameraman. They have to open the cell door to get Shawn out. Shawn basically gets out with Taker following him, gets rammed into the cell twice, starts bleeding, says, fuck this, climbs on top of it after poking the Undertaker in the eye, climbs on top of the cell, trying to get away from him. They fight a little bit on the top of it. There was a backdrop on it, I'm pretty sure. And Shawn is like, fuck this, I'm getting down. Undertaker steps on his fingers. Shawn falls, crashes through the announce table. They get back in the ring. Shawn's a bloody mess. Undertaker signals for a tombstone. Boom, boom, hits that motherfucker. And right before he gets the pin, lights go out. And how I did the JR voice earlier for the Mankind one. My God, that's gotta be Kane. That's gotta be Kane. Look at the size of him. And Kane comes out and the Undertaker's face, he played it up great. Kane rips the cage off. Boom. Tombstone. It was one of those tombstones too, to where he picked him up and then he had to turn Taker around a couple times. Like, yeah, motherfucker, I'm strong. Tombstone. 1-2-3 for HBK. HBK moved on and that was right before the Montreal Screwjob. And we got the Brothers of Destruction to start beating the shit out of each other. Inferno matches, casket matches, buried alive matches, all kinds of shit. Now, I just want to give you guys a little way to reach me if you want to. My email, M, as in my first name, Marlon, M, Lewis, Lewis, 0410 at gmail.com. That's my direct email. You can look me up on Twitter, at Team on My Back, though. There's some numbers in it, but damn it, just find me. I'm sure you can just hit in the search bar Marlon Lewis or Chandler, Oklahoma or some shit, and you'll find me. God damn it, I'm on there, shit. Yeah. Also, I recommend Fight Freaks Pod. I'm going to tell you guys this every episode. I listen to it every week at Fight Freaks Pod. Find them on iTunes and Google Play. Get on them, all right? All right, man. I look forward to talking to you guys next week. I'm not going to do an episode tomorrow or anything about NBA because tomorrow's the first game back. I'll do my top five MVP after next week for the NBA. That way it's a constant thing. And I hope you guys have a great weekend. It's supposed to be warmer here in Oklahoma City. We just had a little snowstorm, if that's what you want to call it. But yeah, man, you guys all take care. All right. Okay. Bye.